Spirit divine, attend our prayer and make our heart thy home. Descend with all thy gracious power. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We pray. Our Father, who dost everlastingly stand outside the closed doors of our souls, and always knocking in order to enter, wilt thou give us grace this day to throw open all of the doors to our lives. We pray that thou wilt give to each one an open ear, that we may hear thy voice calling us to high endeavor. Thou dost know that we have been deaf to thy appeals, which thou hast addressed to us. We pray that thou wilt give us now courage, that we may answer. And when any one of thy children, our own brothers, shall cry out in need, give us then, we pray, open ears to hear in that cry thy call to service. Wilt thou also give to us open minds, ready to receive and to welcome such new light of knowledge as thy will shall reveal to us? Let not the past be so dear to us that we shall set the limit upon the future, but give us courage to change our minds when that is needed. And let us be tolerant of the thoughts of others and hospitable to such light as may come to us through them. Wilt thou also give to us open eyes, O God, eyes that are quick to discover thine indwelling in the world which thou hast made? Let all lovely things fill us with gladness, and let them lift up our minds to thine everlasting loveliness. Wilt thou forgive all of our past blindness to the grandeur and the glory of nature, and to the charm even of little children? We pray that thou wilt give us open hands that are ready to share with all who are in want the blessings that thou hast so bountifully given us. Deliver each one of us from meanness and miserliness, and let us hold all things that we have in proper stewardship to the end that they may be seen as in trust for thee. Wilt thou mete out to each one this day a blessing to his own personal needs, and through the stimulus of this hour, let us be enriched and let our lives become enriching. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We are always delighted to have pastors in this area to visit with us on our campus and to lead us in worship. Our guest this morning is a person who has been at his present pastorate about the same length of time that Southeastern Seminary has been in existence. We are, in a sense, therefore, almost twins. The Reverend A. Douglas Aldrich is pastor of the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and brings to his task a devoted mind and a consecrated heart and effective leadership. He also provides mental and spiritual stimulation for his people. And we're grateful for his coming to speak to us this day. Mr. Aldrich.
Thank you, Dr. Lovelace. I assure you it's a privilege to come to share these moments of worship and meditation with you this morning. For a devotional thought, I turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Joshua. Three verses. Then spoke Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the men of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still at Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stayed in the midst of heaven, did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. There's been no day like it before or since, when the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Last week, one of our family projects at home was to take our old alley cat to the veterinarian to have his injured paw repaired. Our 11-year-old daughter asked if she could take one of her neighborhood playmates, a 10-year-old girl, along with us. We agreed that'd be a fine idea. Janet, the friend, called her mother over the phone, and her mother said, "Well, Janet, do you have the time?" On the way out to the veterinarian, Janet said to my wife, "I wonder what mother meant. Do you have the time?" And I submit to you this morning that this is one of the crucial questions that you and I, in our ministry and in our Christian living, have to ask ourselves. Do I have the time? How can I find time for this? How can I adjust my time schedule so that God can accomplish the most through me? My thought this morning could be summed up in just a phrase. I would challenge you, along with myself, that we would take time to live. All of us have had those hours in life when it seemed that time stood still. Perhaps you've been to a basketball game on occasions when you forgot all about in a tense moment that there was such a thing as a timekeeper. Or there are other experiences such as giving yourself to concentration and study until you forgot the ticking of the clock on the desk nearby. Or perhaps you've been partner in the rapture of two lovers who almost forgot whether it was day or night. All of us have had those experiences, a few experiences in life when it seemed that time did stand still. And this matter of time is such an interesting thing because it is our task to discover how you live your life in time in the framework of eternity. I remember looking at a picture frame a few years ago in our home, and I began to study the picture frame, and I saw the picture in the middle of it. Just around the picture frame, I saw the mat, and of course, around the mat, I saw the frame. As I began to think in connection with this passage of Scripture, I thought this is a parable of life. The picture represents human experience as we have it every day. The mat that gives depth to the picture represents the time process in which we live. The frame around the mat and the picture represents the framework of eternity. Your human experience and mine has to be lived in the setting of time, but always in the framework of God's eternity. In the story that I read this morning, just a portion of it, it's a story of Joshua and the children of Israel, the armies of Israel, engaged in a battle in Gibeon, in the central part of the Promised Land. In the midst of that crisis, right in the middle of it, Joshua turns aside and looks to God and prays. This is something of what was included in his prayer. "Sun, stand thou still at Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." A beautiful poetic prayer. I wonder what the truth in it is. I think a part of its truth is this. Joshua was saying, "Lord, just give me time enough to finish this battle in behalf of thy people." And if we translate it down to today, to this morning, on this Wednesday morning in the spring of 1960, perhaps we need to pray to God, "Oh Lord, just give me time to live." And I know of no group that needs to pray this prayer any more than us who are preachers, who find our lives caught in the web of activism, in the web of energy-consuming tasks and long hours, always going around and around in circles. "Lord, give me time just to live in the midst of the circle of life. Give me time, Lord, just to appreciate some of the beautiful things in thy world, for God has clothed his world with the glory of wonderful western sunsets, with the majesty of beautiful sunrises, with the brightness of spring flowers and the riot of color in the autumn colors. God has clothed his world with wondrous beauty, the arching rainbow across the sky. The poet saying, "My heart leaps up when I behold a rainbow in the sky. So was it when my life began. So is it now I am a man. So let it be when I grow old or let me die." The royalty of snow-capped mountains and the purity of fresh fallen snow. Have you stopped this morning to look at something beautiful that reminds you this is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres? Time to live in the beauty of God's world. I would suggest also that I want to pray this prayer, "Lord, give me time to really enjoy some wholesome recreation and some deep laughter." I don't know what your past has been. I know something about my own. And I know that when I started out into the ministry, I started out with a tremendous amount of idealism. I hope I haven't lost it all. I'm sure I haven't. I started out with the world on my shoulders. I don't believe I was sharing much of it with God. I think I was trying to share it all myself. Coming out of a family background as an only child, taking life far too seriously, I think it's taken me until about midway in life, or a little beyond, to learn that God has given us a lighter side of life to balance its more serious moments. I never will forget when I got to Mars Hill College, coming from Orlando, Florida, my hometown, 600 miles, first time away from home for any length of time, coming in late and my roommate not being there. He was a second-year student. I remember a plaque he had on the wall. He got there and got the best bed and got everything the best first. And I wondered what kind of a guy this really was. And I really wondered when my serious freshman mind looked at this plaque. "Why take life so seriously? You'll never get out of it alive." And I thought, what kind of a philosophy of life is this? But you know, the more time passes, and the more I reflect on that statement, I don't recommend it necessarily as a good philosophy of life, but it does let the pressure off once in a while. When I let that little plaque and its sentence run through my mind, "Oh boy, you better slow down. Life's not quite so serious maybe as you're taking it." I never will forget either what George Buttrick said in the Meredith School of Christian Studies a few years ago. He said, "God must have had a wonderful sense of humor, or else he'd never made a croaking bullfrog or a long-necked giraffe or a streamlined dachshund or a pinpoint porcupine. God must have a wonderful sense of humor." And Lord, give me time as a man of God to laugh and to recreate this life of mine. Lord, also give me time to expand my mind with wholesome study. Grant unto me a learning mind. Grant unto me the ability to know how to discipline my study habits. Lord, take this mind of mine. Help it to grow just a little bit today. A little bit more tomorrow. Help me to open my heart and my mind to the bigness of God's world of truth and of insight. I know of a lady in Raleigh who's 92 years of age, and a member of our church was calling on her one day. Stimulating lady she is, 92. Always doing things with her hands and then selling them, having a little income. This friend of mine went in to see her, and she was reading a book. As she was reading, the friend said, "What are you reading?" She said, "You know, I'm reading for the first time Einstein's theory of relativity." And said, "You know, I'm getting more insights out of it." That's wonderful. The people I've known who've never died are the people whose minds kept expanding, whose lives kept maturing, whose personalities kept growing. A man like W.O. Carver at Southern Seminary didn't die. He just moved on a little further until his life, his soul, his whole personality could keep growing some more. Oh, Lord, give me time also to recognize that there can be some good in life's frustrating experiences. Some of the failures that come, some of the sorrows that come, some of the bitterness that comes, some of the troubles that come, some of the delays that come. I watch students who wait for their first student pastorate to come, and maybe it never comes. And I've sweated it out with a few of the fellows here that wondered what God was trying to show them, what God was trying to teach them. And I watch them as they go out, disciplined by waiting, made patient as they wait on God. God has more than one way of schooling us for his purposes. I like Leslie Weatherhead's illustration when he tells about a farmer that had a plum tree in an orchard that fell down. The bugs had insects had got into it and had destroyed it from within. And the wind had blown it over, and Dr. Weatherhead said to him, "What are you going to do?" It had fallen over right in the middle of the fruit season. And the farmer said, "Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to gather the fruit, and then I'm going to burn the tree." You've got some memories in your life maybe already that need to be burned. But out of those burned memories can come fruits that will make a richer, godlier, more Christ-like life. Lord, give me time to cultivate some creative relationships in my life that will outlast my stay in the here and now. First of all, relationship to God, yes. A relationship to some other people, God. People that others neglect, people that others overlook. Help me to be a bridge builder in my world, O God. Building bridges of communication from my heart to the heart and life of other persons. And in the building of those bridges of communication, O God, my prayer would be, help me to build some bridges of communication between my life and my family, my wife, our son, our daughter. Some bridges of communication. That when my life's work's over, oh God, may I not have just the record of work and activity and mileage that I've been over to hand up to thee. Oh God, help all of us to have a Christian home to present to him. From Thornton Wilder's Our Town, I picked up this quotation of this incident I want to read in closing. Tells the story of Emily as a young bride who died in childbirth and was permitted by the stage manager to return to her hometown in Grover's Corner to live over one day of her choosing with her family, and she chose her 12th birthday. She went back, but it was a very unsatisfactory experience because, as Thomas Wolfe suggested, you can't go home again, really. Everyone, brothers, sisters, even mother and father, were too occupied with busyness about life even to stop to see the others or enjoy life itself. In the midst of it all, Emily stops to plead. "Oh, Mama, just look at me one minute as though you really saw me. Just for a moment, now we're all together, Mama. Just for a moment, we're happy. Let's look at one another." But life went on, preoccupied and fleeting. At last, she turned to the stage manager and cried out, I can't go on. Oh, it goes so fast. We don't have time to look at one another. I didn't realize, so all that was going on, we never noticed. At last she asked to be taken back, but before she left, she turned to say goodbye with words of deep pathos. Take me back, but first wait one more look. Goodbye. Goodbye, world. Goodbye, Grover's Corners, Mama, Papa. Goodbye to clocks ticking, new iron dresses and hot baths and sleeping and waking up. Oh, Earth, you're too wonderful for anybody to realize you. And then she turns to the stage manager and says, do any human beings ever realize life while they live it? Every minute? No, he answers. The saints and poets, maybe. They do some. Lord, give me time to live. Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. Lord, give me time. And Jesus, from the eternal point of view, says, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, grant unto us that we may be more than preachers of thy gospel. Give us time to become men, and most of all, men of God. In the power of thy love and grace and peace in Jesus Christ.